Hi, I'm Amy Smith. I'm a creative badass, and you are listening to Figuring It Out.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Figuring It Out, the podcast for millennial women starting online businesses, blogs, and podcasts they love. I'm Melissa Guller, founder of The Kindling, and each week I interview another amazing woman to learn more about her story, her challenges, and her best actionable tips to help you find your spark. Welcome to the show, everyone. This week, I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Amy Smith. Amy is a brand strategist, website designer, and creative badass, and she helps businesses grow by creating high converting experiences for their target audiences. She lives in Georgia with her husband and daughter, but they hope to someday move to California or Canada. And my favorite part of Amy's bio, Amy is definitely a Hufflepuff and an ENFP. I happen to be a Ravenclaw, but I have Hufflepuff tendencies too, Amy. So I'm so excited to welcome a fellow Potter fan to the show.
That's so funny. I forgot that I put that in my bio and I'm wearing my Hufflepuff shirt.
Oh, so you're just a true Hufflepuff through and through.
I am. I think I always secretly want to be a Ravenclaw. My husband's a Ravenclaw, but it's okay. I'm proud to be a Hufflepuff.
Listen, J.K. Rowling herself said that the Hufflepuffs are the best people.
So. I know, right?
Well, I'm so thrilled to have you here today. To kick things off, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came up with the idea for your business?
Certainly, yeah. So I have always been artistic and creative, and I just kind of finally settled into what that might mean in high school with a really awesome teacher and some courses, because in high school you get all these extra different fun, I guess, whatever they're called, the electives. So, I did like graphic design and photography and like newspaper journalism and all that stuff. So from there, I just kind of started being a photographer, worked for a studio and a graphic designer, and then it just kept elevating from there to websites and funnels and strategy and all that. And I love it so much.
That's so great.
So like I used to be very type A. I used to have like my whole life planned out. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm in my happy place. I'm in my genius zone. Like I'm just going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm. So what is your genius zone? I love that you talk about that. And I hope that you can maybe explain a little bit more to listeners about what it means and what yours is.
Certainly. I didn't used to actually use that word until this year when, a bunch of my people and my cohort and like my online tribe was like, you guys stick to your genius zone and it's important to like, outsource things that you hate and all that stuff. Cause if you're not just wasting your time, like the more time you can be in your genius zone, the better. Right. So I was like, I love that. I love that term. Like I feel that in my soul. My genius zone is just, so I say creative badass because I just love all of it. And like my husband has a 3D printing hobby website thing. And so I'll do like product photography for him. I'll do video editing. And I'm just like always so happy to do it. But that's not necessarily something I offer as a service to people. So like I said, I guess just anything that's like a creative thing where my soul can just have this unlimited direction of creativity. And usually that's websites when it comes to clients. And I love it because it's like they, especially, the longer I've been doing it, the more they're like, Amy, I trust you. And I'm like, yes, like I'm not just copying another website. Like I get to go into this, like create this entire world. So I love it because I get to create just this entire world for a client. And yeah, so really anything that's creative, if I'm bad at it, I probably am not going to do it or my OCD kicks in.
I know that feeling. So when you are working with clients, what would you say sets your business and your maybe creative energy apart from others in the same space?
So fortunately and unfortunately, a lot of us creatives are kind of similar. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, like I know a lot of people have been burned by graphic designers, web designers or whatnot. Like it's easy to get burned, I think, maybe with the online or whatever. So
why do you think that is?
I think, first of all, being an entrepreneur or work from home, it can be very difficult, like especially like we tend to, not all of us, but you know, there's a reason we're not in a 9-to-5. So I'm sure a lot of people struggle with, you know, maybe deadlines or being organized or whipping their own selves into shape so they're responsible or whatever. And then I think it's also probably easy to get into the salesy groove, you know, over promising, under delivering. And then I also do think that some clients, they're not sure how to figure out who to hire, or they don't know what's going to go wrong until it goes wrong type thing. So they don't know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. So I see what you mean. Like there's a lot of areas where it'd be possible to burn out or feel frustrated.
Yes. And then I definitely think lack of communication is a huge key. Like I think this isn't necessarily my personal experience, but I've heard others in the space, they say stuff like, you know, there's just been poor communication. Or for instance, there's like a virtual assistant coach we were talking, and she was saying that when she listened to people vent about their being burned with X, Y, and Z, like whether it was a graphic designer or if it was like just a general VA. And she's like, well, it just sounds like there wasn't a good communication. And I think that is hard, especially again, when you're not face to face to communicate, to really understand. And I think that I'm very good at peopling and I'm very empathetic. So I can read emotions and I can kind of like pick up on things, and I'm really good at asking questions and I can like get like to the heart of things. And I think I do that really well, but I think that helps.
I'm sure that is something that sets you apart, that ability to ask the right questions and to really, like you said, empathize with people. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily something that everybody has. So I'm sure that that is a huge difference when people are choosing to work with you.
I think so too. And I think they feel my energy and my excitement. And I'm not really, I'm supposed to be less excited, I think. You know, that whole positive indifference my mentor talks about, Landon Porter, he always talks about, you know, he's like, don't be more excited than your potential client. I'm like, I am a very excited person. If this project sounds awesome, I'm going to be like all about it.
Yeah.
So I think that that can turn some people off, but you know, then we probably shouldn't work together anyways.
Yeah. I think that makes sense, that you should do what feels authentic to you in a lot of ways. And I think that's a nice segue to start talking a little bit more about your business. So I know your business has grown quite a bit since back in your high school elective days. It sounds like it's been kind of a natural progression of just following different creative interests. But I'd love to know, how did you find your first customer for your current business? And, you know, since then, how have things continued to grow?
So yeah, definitely in high school, it was like a whole different world. It was almost easier and harder, obviously, because it was before social media. Mm-hmm. This was like 10 plus years ago. So, you know, it was so word of mouth. It was like my mom's colleagues needed a photographer, or, you know, like my mom's company, like I did their Christmas party events a lot and things like that. Or like it was word of mouth. It wasn't always my mom, but those are two ones that stand out. And then I was able to join a photographer studio and get that experience. So, you know, 10 years later, it's Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and all these things. And it's definitely a little overwhelming. But this year I really learned to like scale back. Because again, I can do a lot of things, but that kind of made me, I guess, wishy-washy when it came to clients. And like, I was like, oh, well, what do you need me to do for you? Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, I'm just doing websites, or I'm just doing funnels, or I'm just doing strategy. It's just those three things. Do I want to do other stuff? Well, my current clients are like, oh, well, can you do this? And I'll be yes or no. Or, you know, my friend James is better at this, like, because, you know, logos aren't my thing. So I'm like, oh, you need a logo? I got a guy. Like, that's not me. So knowing, first of all, that I don't do logos, because, you know, I used to do logos. I'm not terrible at logos. I just, I don't have the creative energy for logos. Mm-hmm. So like knowing what I'm good at, what I want to continue doing, what I'm bad at, and kind of simplifying my offerings has actually really helped pave the way to an easier, I guess, client acquisition process.
Well, that must be tough though, because people are coming to you and asking for services. Like you said, you can do them, but it sounds like turning people away if they're not now in your core set of offerings.
Yes, for the most part, definitely. Like if it's a fun project and it's not something I advertise on my website that I do, absolutely, I will do it. I love taking those one-off projects. But yeah, it's definitely like I would just be like, oh, okay, I can do that. Like, oh, let's make money or like this might be fun. Like those aren't enough reasons sometimes to work with someone. But I guess, yeah, like I said, the main thing is like if I'm positioning myself as a website person, it's hard for me to also talk about video editing or, you know, this really great thing I learned about Photoshop or anything else. So it's fine tuning, again, what I offer and then just speaking about that. And then that now people are so much easier to be like, oh, you need a website? You should check out Amy. And I love it. So it's like the new word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. You brought up, I think, a great point about the messaging on your site. Yes. If you can really focus in on what you do offer instead of saying, oh, I do a little bit of everything, it's probably much easier for you to become like, oh, Amy, she creates great websites. She has this great creative sense about her that I love. You should definitely talk to her instead of, oh, yeah, I don't know if she has what you need, but I guess maybe, I don't know. It'd be tougher to recommend kind of a generalist, I imagine.
It is. And I think general admin VAs kind of have that issue. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of, I hire them, but I think the more specialized you can get, first of all, the more money you can get.
Totally.
Second of all, the happier you'll be and you can be that person. Like one of my clients, my strategy clients, she was a general VA. I'm like, you have an excellent portfolio for graphic design. Why are you, and you like print graphic design. So like brochures and like the full like stuff. I'm like, why don't you do that? Like, that's your happy place. That's your genius zone. Like, why are you doing email? You know? So I was like, mm-hmm. just, and like I said, her website like had all the things. And as a designer, website designer, I know this too. Like, you shouldn't have all the things. You need to tell people where to go, what to do. If they have too many options, they're going to fall off.
So, that's really interesting. Wait, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So from the website perspective,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we talk about this a lot and it's not just website design, it's anything. So I was actually on a mastermind call this week and I was like, you know, I just want to confirm because I feel like my proposals are really long and because I line item because, you know, there's a lot that goes into a website that some people don't realize. So it's like I line item and I customize packages. So I don't necessarily have a like one size fits all. I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to be more Instagram heavy, then we're going to need to do a few things differently. Like that affects your website. Anyways, so I was talking to them and I was like, so I have like, these are my core things. And I just kind of modify them based on the client after our conversation. And I was like, how many packages do you guys recommend? And yes, unanimously, they were like, no more than three. And I was like, okay, that's exactly what I'm doing. And it was that same thing. Like people get overwhelmed when there's more than three options. Mm-hmm. And it's just subconscious. It's like, you go to a grocery store and you have like 200 million different peanut butters, almond butters, cashew butters. Which one do you want? And it's kind of the same thing. If there's too many options, like right in front of them, it can be overwhelming. And it's not just pricing and packages. And it's, I find it very interesting that three just seems to be that magic number because, you know, there's always like that low tier, that medium tier, that high tier. And there is a lot of psychology into it. But yes, when you're on a website, even if we're not even, like I said, talking about pricing and packaging, if there are too many options for them to be like, okay, well, do I want to listen to the podcast or do I want to download the lead magnet or do I want to join their Facebook community or do I want to schedule a call with them or X, Y, and Z? Like there's too many things, like as simplifying it as much as possible, like get them to that number one thing that's best for them. And then you can kind of, what I say is optimize like the subsequent steps in that funnel. Cause to me, a website is always a funnel. Like it doesn't matter if it's a full world experience or it's just a simple landing page. Like it's always, you're funneling people further into your world. So let's just get them like you gotta do a little hand holding, like 1, 2, 3 steps at a time. So, and that, I think that's the other thing people even don't like about my website is like, I don't have a lot going on. So they're like, oh, where is this? I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about that. But so that's kind of the thing is you want to help make it clear for the visitors to your website or to anything, make it clear, like, these are the few of the things that you can do that are probably the most impactful. And then everything else, it's like, they'll find easily the further they decide to get into your world. And I love it. And I love that psychology there, but that's kind of the very long-winded explanation.
No, I think that's so helpful. I remember reading a really similar study in the book, The Defining Decade by Meg mm-hmm. Kay. And she talks about, very similar to the peanut butter, she talks about how people get paralyzed yes. with decision-making. And she says, it's not that you don't know what you want, it's that there are too many things for you to look at. So if you're just looking at an entire grocery store, it would be hard for you to choose just one thing that you might like. But if somebody gives you, in the study, they did 6 flavors of jam, you could probably tell them which one is your favorite.
Yes.
So it's the same concept of this. And it seems very prevalent today in the world of websites, social media, in person. There's just so many interaction points we have with different people, so many decisions we have to make, that if you as a business owner can simplify those decisions for somebody in your world and really guide them on an experience, like you said, kind of funnel them in, it's probably not only easier for you to create that kind of focus, but easier for them to become excited about you and know what you want them to do.
Exactly. Because I think regardless of what our industry or niche is, for the most part, we're all providing clarity of some sort. For me as a website designer, or whether it's just even just a strategy, I'm helping them provide clarity. I'm removing that overwhelm. So when they first come to my website, it needs to be very clear, like, okay, this is who Amy is. This is what she can do for me. And this is how I can learn more. That's the basis of what an online presence or brand is nowadays. It's like, because it's very much about the visitor. And with technology, you can customize that to a visitor. So you can learn more about, like, okay, you can split test and all these fun things to provide them with that, like, personalized website or funnel based on, you know, the visitor. But yes, reducing that overwhelm and as much as possible from the get-go, because if there's too many options from the beginning, the process of working with someone could be just as overwhelming sometimes. Mm-hmm. But then that's also unique to someone like me that does, like, services.
Yeah, but I'm sure a lot of listeners might be considering that. So I think this is great advice overall to think about, what is it that you want people to do or know about you when they come to your website? And then just really make sure that all paths lead to that goal.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with redundancy sometimes. At all. Like, obviously you don't want to use the same word like 5 times in paragraph, but redundancy, it's like you want to stay at the forefront. You want to answer their questions. Cause again, it's who are you? What can you do for me? And how can I learn more? So after that, it's like, just kind of like keep, it's like this fun little like circle, like it all circles back together. It's so much fun. But yeah, like, but that's what you got to do. Simplify, reduce the overwhelm, and still have fun though, because they want your personality.
Yeah, that's a great point too about the personality. This shouldn't feel like it's a cookie cutter site. But I love those 3 things that you just said, the who you are, what can you do, and how can I learn more? I think that's such a great guiding.
Yes. And when we're talking about a website or a funnel or any of that, and like I said, it doesn't even have to be a website. I work with people who are not ready for websites. So we do all what I call the inbound traffic, that inbound funnel. So that's going to be the Facebook and all that stuff. So it's like, it doesn't matter where it is, you can still do it. But it doesn't have to be initially for the visitor. Again, regardless if it's a website or whatever, or a storefront, it's not necessarily initially going to be buying something. So that's why lead magnets are very helpful, but it's not always a lead magnet anymore. Like, people are sick of lead magnets sometimes. So now we're having to up our quality of a lead magnet now, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be as simple as, you know what, I'm not ready to fully commit, but I kind of like listening to podcasts in my car, so I'm going to subscribe to this podcast. And then, you know, you're optimizing the podcast. As you know, you're putting things in your show notes and you're putting the podcast, making sure it goes to like all the right places. And then you're reminding them that there's calls to actions. You're reminding them that, you know, they can check out your website or this other program you're doing. And again, that whole funnel to bring them into your world. So I think that's the other people, is people are like, oh, I need to have an about page and a contact page. I'm like, you definitely do, but have fun with it and know that it's not always going to be like, enter my email for 10% off. That's not always going to be the answer.
What might be another example of what like the purpose might be or the answer?
So Facebook communities are a huge thing. And I see a lot more people being like, join my community. I mean, that's a great lead capture. And I think a lot of people are missing that. They're wanting that community feeling. They're like, okay, well, let me kind of dip my toes into a Facebook community and I'll meet a bunch of people, not just the leader. And then I can easily leave it. So it's like, it's not a commitment yet. It's not like a, oh, the leader knows I've talked to them, so now I have to give them an excuse why I'm leaving. I think they like that non-committal at first, which is another reason they're sometimes hesitant to give emails now, is because they know they're going to be spammed. So kind of telling them, like giving them like a nonchalant way they can learn more like that has been very helpful.
That's a really interesting way to frame it, that a Facebook group is less committal and that they could leave anytime, which is funny because email is the same way. You can always unsubscribe. But I do think you're right that in today's age of every website has something to download, some sneaky way to get you on their email list, it can sometimes feel like giving your email address is like sacred and you only want to give it out if you really believe you're going to get value in return.
Yes, I've seen that a lot. And I'm a huge, huge proponent of emails and lead captures and all of that. And I try very hard to help set that up for success as much as possible for each client. But at the end of the day, there is that psychology to it that, you know, emails are becoming more and more sacred because everybody's getting more and more spammed. And, you know, because people just, unfortunately, there's a new trend in emails and not everybody's catching up or doing it right or whatever. And that's fine. But that, like you said, to be in someone's email inbox and communicating with them, even if it's like a mass delivered thing because it's email marketing, it is a lot more intimate because it's still one-to-one. But yeah, a Facebook group. So what I really like doing is I remind people every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern, I am live on my Facebook profile. If people want to come ask me questions, they can. Like, it's kind of like a Q&A. It's sometimes people ask me like, what's my favorite ice cream flavor? Some people ask me website questions. It's like a, they can tune in, but they don't have to engage. They can learn more if we're a fit. Like, it's just, and it's a unique twist. And I like, and I think that people value the difference too, because they're like, oh, another lead magnet. But there's a lot of different ways to do it. And there's, depending on your ideal client and your niche, I mean, there's like 20 different platforms. So it's just figuring out what works best for you as well as your ideal client. And I always say a brand is 100% you and 100% your ideal client, because you have to find that sweet spot, because it doesn't matter how much you like Instagram if your ideal client's on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Well, before we go, I do want to talk about some of the challenges you faced, because obviously running a business, it's inevitable that challenges do come up. So what would you say has been maybe the biggest challenge that you've faced so far in running your business?
I think most of it has been trying to not be everybody else. Like, I think it's especially hard as a work from home, because you see the Pinterest perfect or the Instagram perfect life of, you know, people that are ahead of you. And the mindset can be, it's huge. And it took me a long time because I had some false beliefs in my own head. It took me a long time. I was like, oh, like I didn't really go to university for this, so I can't charge the same as somebody else and X, Y, and Z. So getting into a healthy mindset, I wish I had done that sooner, but I didn't do that until maybe this year. Like, this year has really just been like a huge thing for me, like learning to be like, okay, well, this is, again, like I said earlier, I am not a logo person. I've done logos. Like I said, I'm not as proud of logos, but I can definitely do them. But it's the same thing. It's like, I'm not good at logos. It's just not my thing. So I'm just not going to offer it. And that took me until this year. But it's that combination of, you know, yes, I didn't go to university for it, but I do really good things. People are really happy. I love it. Like, I still need to value my time, and, you know, it's still a lot of hours. I just need to like drop that false belief, because more and more people are not going to university for it. More and more people are self-taught, or like me, they do still at least do education or courses or certificates, even if it's not like a bachelor's in it. So knocking that out. And then the second one, which is kind of went hand in hand, because the more I did the second thing, the further along I got with my mindset. And the second thing is finding my tribe. And that's not necessarily the people, I guess, below me that are looking up to me. It's the people that are at my level and ahead of me, like finding the people that are, they're going to be my cheerleaders and my support system. And they're going to be like, Amy, I really don't know if you should do this, or have you thought about this, or Amy, you're totally right, or you're totally wrong. Like having people that I trust that are going through the same thing. And, you know, we're learning from each other and we're supporting each other. That's been like monumental. And that started this year as well for me, because, you know, I felt a little bit more alone, like it was just me, and it was easier to get like the false beliefs to stick around, or it was easier to fall into like whatever, or because it's a lonely career sometimes when you work from home.
Mm-hmm. And so, how did you find this tribe?
I started interacting in a Facebook group that was just filled with people like me that were just sick of people being like aggressively salesy, or that, you know, they were either kind of like me where they were like, well, I'm not really growing and I'm not sure why, or they were like, they just quit their jobs and they're going into that, or they're like, it was in some way, regardless of, you know, the income level that they were making, we were on the same path. And so I just found so many people in that group that like we just connected and, you know, we're best friends. Or, you know, I met one of them in Chicago the other weekend, and now we have a strategic partnership and we have a YouTube show because we just connected. Like, I subconsciously made it a priority to just be like, you know what, just for fun, I'm going to just find people and just talk and learn. And then it from there became like actual like quality relationships.
That's awesome. We've arrived at the final round. This is a bit of a lightning round. So we're just going to ask about some advice and resources and people that you admire before we go. So first up, what is the best business advice you've ever received?
The best business advice I've ever received is that just don't listen to advice. Just do your own thing. Like, everybody's journey is different. Now, there are certain things you should do that would be helpful, but just follow your gut and do your own thing. You'll figure it out.
Awesome. Next up, what is a resource or a book that you would recommend?
The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins was very huge for me last year, and it really helped get my mindset into gear. And then otherwise, I recommend, I'm not a big ClickFunnels fan, but I do really appreciate Russell Brunson's .com secrets. And I think that's a great thing for any business owner to read. There's a lot of great information in there that it took me like 6-8 years to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great Rex. Aylin, who is one businesswoman that you admire?
Gosh, there's so many.
I know.
Honestly, right now it's going to be that friend that I mentioned earlier that we're now YouTube and people together or whatever. We have a show together. Mm-hmm. And just because I am amazed, she's not just getting started, but her name's Jessica Ullman. And, you know, she's a mom, 2 kids. She's hustling. She's smart. She's figuring it out. And I'm so proud of her. I love watching it grow and being a part of her journey. So she's awesome.
So cool. All right. Well, I'm going to have you send us out with a quote. So what is one quote that you want to leave listeners with today?
So, in oneself lies the whole world, and if you know how to look and learn, the door is there and the key is in your hand. Nobody on earth can give you either the key or the door to open except yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. You can find links to Amy's site and more in the show notes at figuringitoutpodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Amy Smith. I'm Melissa Guller, and you've been listening to Figuring It Out. See you next week.